And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden...
It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He is the editor and the publisher of The Timberjay, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to talk to you again.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Since we last talked, the bonding bill finally passed. Was that the fifth special session that they had?
At least.
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that. I kind of lost track.
Yeah.
You know, once I get past my fingers and toes, I'm kind of out of luck.
But it was, it has a huge impact. And I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about the parts of it that you've been paying attention to.
Sure. Yep. I mean, one of the biggest ones we were watching was funding for the Lake Vermilion Sedan Underground Mine State Park, which is a park name that we don't usually write out all the way in the paper because we don't have enough space, but that we can say it on the radio. But anyway, they needed some additional money. And of course, that park is still in development. They do have one campground, but they're looking for funds to design and begin a construction of a second campground. And then they also need several million dollars for basically a complete rebuild of the mine shaft. And that's the shaft that takes people down on the underground mine tour. And, you know, they had a fire there several years ago. And as they were doing repairs on that, you know, they realized that, you know, some of the metal beams that were in place there, you know, which were pretty old, were starting to show their age, and they decided they really needed to do kind of a significant reconstruction of that shaft. And they also are lining a good portion of it with concrete. I think they're hopeful that they, I mean, with the intent, I guess, of preventing any future fires. I mean, that's obviously a very scary prospect for the mine and for the park itself, for park officials, is to have a fire in that shaft would be, you know, pretty scary, especially that people, you know, in the shaft at the time. So that's certainly something that they take every step to avoid, and this is part of that. And so they were waiting, you know, for that funding to make that happen, and now they have it in hand. So those are two projects, actually, the mine shaft renovation as well as the work on the campground. That should all be starting here this next year. And then there was also $1.5 million for trails, and I'll talk more about that in a second. I also wanted to mention about Togo, and there was additional funding in there for the Togo Correctional Facility. We've been writing a lot about that because that had been slated for closure as a result of a funding shortage by the Department of Corrections. And it looks like, at least for now, they have a temporary lease on life with some additional funding that should keep them operating for at least the next several months. And they'll be pushing to get more permanent funding in the months to come, so in the next legislative session. And then also, getting back to the trails, Ely had a proposal in the bonding bill, and they were waiting patiently for that, and that's for a trailhead complex that they are building as part of a redesign of Ely's West End. So that's when you come into Ely from 169. There will now be this complex welcoming visitors. It will have information and, you know, kind of a trailhead for three different trails, the Prospector ATV Trail, the Taconite Snowmobile Trail, and the Mesabi Trail for walkers and bikers. And there'll be information, there'll be bathrooms, there'll be quite a substantial building, in fact, that'll be associated with that, a 3,400 square foot welcome center. So there'll be a lot of information in there. And so that this should be a very impressive updating of Ely's West End. Yeah, it should be an exciting improvement for Ely's West End. And then, you know, this is really all part of a theme that we touched on elsewhere in the paper this week, too, which is that communities are really starting, I think, to understand the importance of trails of all kinds in terms of economic development. You know, we've seen the impact certainly in other parts of the country first, but then, you know, we started to see the impact of, you know, say, mountain biking trails around Crosby. And it's become kind of, I think, something that's pretty well understood that when you take advantage of your local amenities and try to really accentuate them and build on quality of life, it makes your community a more attractive place to live. And that is critical to economic development. You know, it's hard to attract a new industry to come to town. I mean, we've got industrial parks that have been set up all across, you know, Minnesota, particularly here on the range. And most of them are lucky if they've got, you know, one or two facilities in them. Many are empty. And, you know, so that's hard to do, but it's a lot easier to make your community an attractive place and try to get people to move there. Because people are interested in moving, especially nowadays. It seems like there's an interest in moving out of the city and coming to smaller towns, to rural areas. And you know, a lot of rural areas struggle, but rural areas that have outstanding outdoor recreation opportunities tend to do quite well. All across the country, those are growth areas and, you know, and places that are pretty prosperous. So I think that's the trend that you're starting to see here. And everybody in this region seems to be getting that message. You know, we're seeing investments by Department of Iron Range and Resources and Rehabilitation in things like, you know, mountain biking trails. And, you know, other places are investing in hiking trails. And then, of course, we've had big new investments in ATV trails. And all of this is about, you know, making these communities, our communities up here, more attractive. And I think there's going to be an impact. I think we're already seeing some of the effects of that in some of our communities. And certainly Ely has seen a substantial in-migration of new residents, you know, based on the outdoor amenities that are available there. And so I think we're going to continue to see that trend shaping up in our area, and it will be to the good.
Yeah, you know, in Grand Rapids, we probably a couple years, year and a half ago, we got a new bridge over the Mississippi River right by KXC Studios. And I remember, you know, when they talked about that, that was in the bonding bill. I just thought, well, I don't understand. We don't really need a bridge here. It was like, but the minute it was done, people come to the river. I walk over that bridge all the time. I've noticed the Mississippi, even though our studios sit outside that, sit right there on the banks, I have never paid so much attention to the Mississippi as I have since that bridge came in. So I was wrong. I'm going to say that. I think there's a really good reason for that bridge now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. You know, we are all Minnesotans. We know we're going to have a winter, but it came a little quicker than we thought. And there's been some people that have been kind of caught unawares of what can happen out there.
That's for sure. In fact, the Forest Service put out a little warning this week, just telling folks that to be aware if they're going to venture out, particularly, you know, in the Boundary Waters. And, you know, it's not peak season out in the Boundary Waters right now, but there certainly are a lot of people who do like to travel there in October, you know, especially the early part of October, because it's, you know, there's not much not many people there, so you kind of have it to yourself, and it's a beautiful time of year. And but, you know, with the weather that came in here about the middle of the month and has not relented, winter has really kind of settled in, and we started to have rivers and lakes freezing up, and people who were out in the Boundary Waters in some cases were caught off guard. You know, if you're a couple days, you know, into the wilderness, and suddenly it's cold, and you get several inches of snow dropped on you, and now your exit is blocked by ice, that's a problem. And we had a few instances like this where folks had to get rescued. We had one case up off the Moose River going into Ninemoose Lake. This is off the Echo Trail, where a fellow had, fortunately, he had brought an emergency SOS device, one of these little things you can set off and send out a message to emergency responders. And basically it just said wet and cold and stuck. You know, he wasn't able to go. There was ice. He had gone by canoe, and suddenly his exit was blocked by ice, and that he was in trouble. And so he did send this message out, and that activated both the Department of Natural Resources and the St. Louis County Rescue Squad. And they went out, and they were able to locate this individual and bring him back. He was in trouble, though. They said by the time they got to him, he was suffering from severe hypothermia. And so they had to undertake significant efforts to get him warmed up, and enough, anyway, to get in a boat and bring him back. So that was a lucky fellow. We don't know. There could be other people out there who didn't have those means of communication who could still be in trouble for all we know. And, of course, the ice is just getting more widespread and thicker in places. So hopefully folks are finding their way out if they got caught in this.
Yeah, got to be smart. And thanks to all those people that answer those kinds of calls when people need them.
I tell you what, I got to say, that St. Louis County Rescue Squad, you cannot give them enough kudos. I mean, these people go out in the worst conditions. I mean, it's always miserable when they go out. You know, and they're usually out in the middle of the night, it's highly inconvenient to anybody's life to be on that rescue squad, and they're all volunteer, and they are out all the time.
Yeah.
And you really got to give them credit, because they've saved a lot of lives over the years.
And they're volunteers. Gosh. Well, Marshall, before we go, we all know you as the publisher of the Timber Jay, but you have a kind of a special connection to Timber Jays, too.
Well, I do. They've actually been one of my favorite birds for a long time. And I do like to feed them. I feed birds at home, but the gray jays I feed out of my hand, because they're one of those birds that will readily come to your hand. And I've got several of them this year that are, every time I'm out in the yard, they are just mobbing me because they want me to bring them their favorite food, which is bread. And I try to get them whole wheat, whole grain bread. I don't get them that white stuff. You know, that's not good. But so this morning, as we were just getting into the car to come into the office, they flew over, three of them did. And I said, oh, give me a sec to give them some bread. And so while I was getting bread, Jody got her phone out. And she said, I'm going to, you know, film this. So she took a 25-second video of the gray jays and landing on my hand, landing on my arm, landing on my head. I'm just, you know, kind of fighting over the bread. It was pretty fun. So if people want to check that out at timberjay.com, it's short and it's kind of amusing.
Yeah, and good news in these times. I think it's a fun thing to see. Yeah.
For sure.
That's Marshall Helmberger, the editor and publisher of the Timber Jay. He joins us each Friday on KAXE, KBXE. Have a great weekend. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns.